Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello, happy first day of the week, and welcome to another Andy Goldstein's TalkSport Daily podcast with me, your host with the most brackets hair. And we've got a great podcast coming up. I know sometimes I say that and it's rubbish, apart from my bits, obviously. But this one, just having a look, it's okay. Now it begins with angry Aston Villa fans on the final word with Simon Jordan and Danny Kelly. I must stress that the show is actually called The Final Word with Simon Jordan. Danny Kelly was also in the studio, though. So have a listen to this. First up, we can hear from the manager, Dean Smith, brackets, smudger, then the callers, brackets, I love you all, close brackets.
First time we've never gone and made physical contact with teams, and whether it was us giving them too much respect or not, I don't know. And it's something that, you know, I'll speak to the players about, because you feel embarrassed about it. You know, we're a proud football club with a proud history, and yes, we've only just come up into this Premier League, and yes, we've built a new squad, and their three goal scorers would cost the whole of our squad. But, you know, there's some parts of football that don't change, and that's that work ethic, work rate. They tended to get into the pockets a little bit too easy. We talked about our outside centre-backs, you know, making contact with their lads in the pockets, and we never done that. We ended up just staying as a five at times, and it caused us problems.
My lads bought me a Christmas present to go down today, and they tried to get me down. Come on, Dad, you know, the plane. Well, I just can't see, you know. I followed them. And I've been down there for many, many years. I've gone down there today, as I say, as a Christmas present. And from kickoff, I just can't believe. And people are saying Man City, an absolute European team. I did not see that today. They were in training mode, and we were 20% at best. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. There was no fight. Yeah, OK, you talked about Dean Smith saying it wasn't an important game to us because we weren't going to win, but there was no fight. I'll tell you what, if I rocked up on Monday morning and put the effort in for work, and my sons did that, they wouldn't last 5 minutes in their job. I'm absolutely disgusted. I can't believe it, mate. I'm nearly in tears here, honestly. You know, I just can't believe it.
Sure. I'm sorry your Christmas present has turned out so unhappily for you. But I just want to confirm what you said there. In your opinion, you followed the football closely, they weren't actually putting the effort in.
No, it was a training game. From the kickoff, it was as if they were in training mode and we were letting them be in training mode. We put 20% in at the best.
How do you odds that, Tone, against the performance they put in against Leicester midweek? Because you can't question...
I just don't understand it. There was no fight. And I'll tell you, I love Grealish the bits, but one thing I learned about him today, and he's a moody player, and, you know, just before we decided to leave, he proper went into a mood. And me, as a leader of people in my job, I have to get people encouraged when things are down. And if I was on the pitch and was doing that, I'd be sorry, fans. But you've got to rattle around. You've got to get him putting a foot in. We didn't put a foot in.
Aaron was at the game as well. He's another Villa fan. Did you stay to the end, Aaron?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Good boy.
Didn't the penalty go in. I'm a massive Villa fan, but I can't see us staying up. I've got to be deadly honest with you. I can't see it happening. I'm very positive. You know, I think Watford are a very good team. I think we could beat Brighton, but I think we lose too many. And like you said, why not try and have a go at Man City today? Danny Drinkwater, yeah, he's not played for a long time. We know that. It's a bit of a strange signing that Burnley didn't want him, and then who are fighting relegation, then we did. Yes, John McGinn's injured, I understand that. But we did look very negative. And you look at Dean Smith, and if he is a Villa fan, he needs to start realising, stepping back and going, is this too much of a bigger task for me? Is it too much of a, you know, a hard thing to do? He's not a Premier League manager in the sense of he hasn't got no...
Aaron, can I ask you a personal question? Roughly how old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, so you're not a child. You're a grown... You know, you're a grown-up. The yeah. days when managers resigned for any reason at all are long gone. They used yeah. to, but that was 20 years ago when you were at primary school. He's not going to... Yeah. Dean Smith...
Where do you really expect... I mean, I take your point about the thought processes going on around the performance today. Look, Villa have just beaten Burnley. They've had some decent yeah. results. You were very good against Leicester midweek. You know, Burnley are an experienced Premier League side now. West Ham have spent millions and millions and millions and have had elite managers like Pellegrini on paper. I've got David Moyes yeah. in there. They're at one point in front of you. You are a long way away from this at this moment in time being relegated.
Aston Villa 0, Manchester City 6. The hat-trick goal for Aguero. What a finish it was as well. Pouncing on, again, defensive frailty by Aston Villa, but what a finish from Aguero.
He scored a lot of goals in his career. He's happy to be part or be here the day he break this record for another incredible legend like Titi Henry. The guys who score goals, they were born scoring goals and they will die scoring goals. So this, everyone has their own challenge and he has this one.
Now, of course, there was an exclusive game day on TalkSport. That was Liverpool beating Spurs at the new White Hart Lane or whatever it's called on Saturday afternoon. We had reaction to that victory on that said show with both managers, Jurgen Klopp and Jose I'm Never Happy Mourinho. Although, the first part of this interview, Jose sounds like he's got a smile on his face. So, swings and roundabouts.
There might be a problem here. Son through the middle, sends it over the top of the crossbar. And it's well over the top of the crossbar. Jose Mourinho sends his hand to the top of his forehead, slaps himself on the front of his face and says he cannot believe that that did not go in.
We saw your reaction to the missed chances on the floor, platoon style, but try to put into words what you were feeling when those chances from Son and Lo Celso were missed.
No, the platoon style was to celebrate the goal because I saw the ball in the net, but then it ended with frustration. That's football. We deserve much more than what we get. We got nothing, and we deserve. I can only be happy with the players. Frustrated with a few things during the game, but that's the way it is. But I think big match, big football match.
So you were pretty satisfied with the performance. You said before the game you'd have to play differently because of the personnel issues that you've had. Overall, from what you saw, you were satisfied.
I am satisfied. I know that the team couldn't play for 90 minutes the way we did in the last 30. We don't have our physical condition adapted to that intensity. Liverpool is. We know that if we let the game go on high pressure and then defensive transitions, we knew that we would break. That's not what this team is used to do. And this is what Liverpool does for a few years already. So the plan was correct. Of course, the goal that we conceded is a frustrated goal by two reasons. One, because we trained yesterday defensive throw-ins, and we conceded a goal in a throw-in. The second reason why it's frustrating is because it was a throw-in for us, because Mané was the one that touched the ball. But that's it.
Got to go down to Jurgen Klopp. He's with Sam Atterface.
Thank you very much, Laura. I'm in the tunnel with Jurgen Klopp. Congratulations, another victory. But what was your going through your brain when the two chances that Spurs missed towards the end of that game?
Relief, probably. Relief. There was one really big one. Don't know exactly. I didn't see it back, so how I missed it. But the cross on the second post and then on the far post, and then there was a volley. Apart from that, Ali saved our lives two or three times. But that the game was still open was obviously in that moment was of course our fault. I think the last 50 minutes were a bit wild. Until then we controlled the game and we played really good football game. It just is intense in a different way because the opponent sets up really defensively. We still create chances, but each baller uses a massive counter-attack where you have to run like crazy. And so I think before we were 1-0 up, we should have been already 1-0 or 2-0 up. That would have changed the game completely. But with 1-0, yeah, it's just a game and you have to fight until the end, and that's what we did.
Time now to check in with the Sun exclusive and Mark Saggers, Alvin Martin and Jermaine Pennant. Is this the one where Alvin Martin's talked about his son ruining a goal kick and then giving away a goal for Sheffield United? No, it's not. Don't mention that. OK. They're looking back at Watford's 3-0 win over Bournemouth. You'll cut that out, yeah? Excellent.
Now for from the Watford side of things, Nigel Pearson has had this great run, but he knows nothing is over at all yet. They've got to now start again, haven't they? And this is, think, yes, it's great. We'll love the moment. We're out of the relegation zone, but we've not stayed up. We've got lots of work still
absolutely.
To do.
He's that sort of character. He's that sort of character that he will push and push and push and demand of his players. But what I find unbelievable is the reaction that he's got so quickly in terms of keeping clean sheets and scoring goals. I mean, another three goals today.
But it just makes me think, actually, that the Watford dressing room just needed somebody who could talk their language.
It does help.
No, but do you see what I mean with that? With you know, Troy Deeney back on board and some of the others. I mean, there's some quality in there. There's some, you know, like your Capoos and this, they've been in big dressing rooms as well. And they've obviously managed to find in Nigel Pearson what he's doing, a freshness and an approach that they can work with.
Yeah, some of that there that, you know, they've took on board and that they, like I said, can work with. You know, whatever, I feel that whatever he did for Leicester to get them up with that team and then they went on to win the league, obviously not under Nigel, but, you know, he's took that, you know, that foundation, that fundamentals, and brought it straight to Watford. And you're seeing the exact same thing. I'm not saying that Watford next season is going to go and win the league, but he's bringing, you know, his experience that he had at Leicester to Watford, and it's working.
I think what you said there is absolutely right, because, and Alvin, you made that point right at the start of the programme, Nigel Pearson, with those nearly two seasons out of the game in many ways, is that he's probably not only learnt from what he did right, but he's learnt from what he did wrong.
And again, at 1-0, the game's still anyone's. Are you going to look for a second and eventually a third? And that's the way to play the game.
Yeah.
Once you're on top, continue to do what's got you on top in the game. It doesn't make sense. There's no logic in actually saying, okay, we've started the first hour well, we're 1-0 up, and now we're going to go back into our shell and allow you back into the game.
I never understand that. I really don't get it because you've not conceded in that hour, but now you're going to sit back and then all of a sudden let them have a chance, basically. Now you're saying, right, like, you come and attack us now. No, it's keep on attacking. Like we said, attack is the best line of defence.
That's right.
And they've scored three goals from it.
Mm. You're not relinquishing the initiative.
Yeah.
By sitting back, you're giving them the initiative and the opportunity to get back in the game. And it's crazy, really. And look, I think that's a big plus for Watford. On the downside, that manner of defeat, it's not just the defeat, Jermaine, which was always going to be a massive thing. It's the manner of defeat. Mm. And looking at Eddie walking off there, totally dejected, the reaction of the Bournemouth fans, you do wonder. And also, as an owner of Bournemouth, you're looking at the reaction that the opposition have had by changing their manager.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'm just going to check on where we are and what happens next for Bournemouth. What do you do now as a player in this situation? First of all,
I'll tell you their fixtures. They've got Norwich away, then they've got Brighton at home, then Aston Villa at home.
Simon Jordan here. You and I are both listening to the TalkSport Daily Podcast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Now, a quick reminder, the third test between South Africa and England gets underway at 7 a.m. or 0700 hours, if you're a fan of 24 with Kiefer Sutherland. For years, by the way, I actually thought his name was Kiefer and then his surname was Sutherland. But anyway, it's not. Anyway, that's on Thursday on TalkSport 2 with the series, of course, beautifully poised at 1-1. And staying with cricket for a moment, have a listen to this. It's Josh Butler here with our very own Macca, brackets. Actually, I don't know what his name is. I'll just call him Macca. Anyway. And first, an apology after swearing at Vernon Philander. What's all that swearing about? Absolutely f***ing disgusting habit.
Yeah, I've played for a few years now where we know the stamp marks are on and turned up. I'd like to apologise. I know as a role model it's not a great thing to have come across on the TV and a bit out of order, so to, hold my hands up there. And but yeah, I think the stamp marks, it's an interesting debate, isn't it? Because it obviously adds for the viewership of people on TV and listening to get a bit of insight as what goes on. But I think also there is a sort of cricket code that I think the players probably quite like it to be off, and to, doesn't mean that you can then say things that are out of order, but it just allows you to, of course, in the heat of the moment, or things that you would like to stay on the field can stay on the field.
And it's short to Josh Butler. Oh my goodness me, he has just dispatched that over backward square leg.
So third test, important test match, you've got yourself back level. Obviously a win here means you can't lose the series. Every test match is important, but this feels like a really big one.
Yeah, it does, and it's huge for both teams. It's set up brilliantly, obviously, being 1-1 in the series and coming here with full of confidence for us, and a lot of guys taking a lot of confidence from performing really well in Cape Town. So, it's set up really well. It's sure to be another great test.
Remember, you can also catch all the action from South Africa by listening to the Following On, that's what it's called, cricket podcast, available every day on the tour on Apple Podcasts, Acast and Spotify. Now, we can head over to Barry Glendening. Big fan of Barry. Very funny fellow. He's got a great voice, actually, for broadcasting. Very talented man. Reads a lot. And a very well-respected, turned-out man in the media. And next to him was just some chancer. Probably going, oh, let's play Culverhouse. Oh, let's name players that no one's ever heard of, although you have heard of someone, pretend there's a game. There are no rules. Stop tweeting and texting in. They make it up as they go along until one of them goes, Culverhouse, and that's it. Have a listen.
Let's play Culverhouse. Barry, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Dean Sturridge.
Imre Varadi.
Phil King.
Gary Bannister.
Dion Burton.
Phil Starbuck.
Kingsley Back.
Roger Joseph.
Roger Palmer.
Nigel Jemson.
John Bumstead.
Scott Gemmell.
Scott Oakes.
Scott Sellers.
Glenn Cockerell.
Glenn Roder.
Glenn Pennyfeather.
Chris Woods.
not having the, you're not having Chris Woods?
Torben Picnic.
Alan Kernahan.
Oyvind Leonhardsen.
Ah, come on. Come on.
Carry on.
Ian Culverhouse.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry about this.
That was a very contentious game.
It really was. I don't think Chris Woods is acceptable at all.
Woods is unacceptable, then Oyvind Leonhardsen is unacceptable.
I don't agree with that whatsoever. Hey, listen, I would like to immediately go to the Court of Arbitration for the game of Culverhouse.
Now, I've got a little email here from, no name, and it says, "Dear Andy, loving the podcast so far, listening to it as I type, but one thing's missing. That's the best bits from Andy Goldstein's Trans-Europe Express. When will it be?" Well, I can tell you now that these are the best bits from Andy Goldstein's Trans-Europe Express, Sunday nights from 9 p.m. Have a listen.
Right, let's start. Let's start with Xavi. And the reason I want to start talking about Xavi is because there's been suggestions very recently, actually, in the press that the big cheeses at Barca want him to succeed Valverde. Listen, I'll ask you, Andy Brassel, why, firstly, will Barca be looking to get rid of Valverde? Is he not up for it? Is he not doing the job? Are they disappointed with him?
Very much so. This has all gathered pace since the semi-final of the Spanish Supercopa. The final is just finished. And spoiler alert, Real Madrid are the winners. But with the new format of it, the big four have all decamped to Saudi Arabia. We're including Valencia in that. And Barcelona actually gave, we'll come to it later, one of their better performances in recent times against Atletico, but still managed to lose 3-2 to them. And all the old digs at Valverde have come up again. And it seems that even though he's not been deserted by the players in any way, shape or form, you can see that by the way they performed against Atletico, the brass at the club have decided that enough is enough. Now, if they are of that opinion, I don't see why they weren't of that opinion last summer. You know, they're heading very possibly for a ninth league title in 12 years. It's 8-11 at the moment, obviously, which is an incredible record. It's his shortcomings in a few big games, notably against Roma and Liverpool, of course, in the Champions League, that have really caused the problems for him. They haven't been great away from home this season, which is, I guess, an extension of those problems that they had at the Olympico and Anfield. I don't think they've learned anything particularly new about him this season that they didn't know already. Xavi is an interesting choice because it feels that, for a lot of people, as if Barcelona aren't Barcelona enough at the moment. And
what do you mean by that?
Well, they're not playing the type of football that we're used to under Pep Guardiola. I think you've got to be realistic and say, because Xavi and Iniesta don't play anymore, and to a lesser extent Puyol and other players, what do you expect? You know, La Masia is not churning them out as it once was, and certainly not, you know, an exceptional generation as it did that flourished under Frank Rijkaard and then later under Guardiola. So I don't know how much Valverde can carry the can for that. I don't know how much he can carry the can for bad transfers, which is something that way predates him. But the idea is that Xavi is, and you know, you'll be crushingly familiar with this, I'm sure, someone who the fans will find it hard to take issue with, just because he has that sort of iconic status at the club. So despite the fact that he's had a very short experience as a head coach at Al Sadd in Qatar, and they're not that happy with him at the moment, no pun intended, he doesn't want to take it mid-season. So they're looking at him maybe coming in the summer. But, you know, you just wonder how much is it going to bring Barcelona forward to really where they want to be, even though it sounds wonderful on paper.
And a reminder, of course, that I, Andy Goldstein, will be back tonight, Monday night from 10 p.m, reacting to all the weekend's games and talking other stuff. Now, as regular listeners to Glory Hunters will know, both of you, panellists are invited to express an idea or opinion designed to horrify the purists in a segment of the show known as Sporting Heretics. This week, I've got terrible cough. This week, Nick Han, excuse me, Cock, has boxing in his sights.
Nick, we come to you. Boxing needs to change.
Well, you know, most of the British public are satisfied with nearly anything. Yeah. Any sop will send them away happy. I mean, look at motorcycle racing, for instance. All they did was they changed the name from motorcycle racing to superbikes, and everyone thought it was brilliant. You know? So, I'm suggesting we call it superboxing, all right?
Okay,
now,
lovely,
you don't
yeah.
have to change an awful lot. Boxing is already on the way. It has rounds. So, why not make one of those rounds a general knowledge round?
Lovely,
for
lovely,
instance.
Lovely, lovely.
Or they could have a swimwear round.
Ah,
now,
lovely.
You'd still do the boxing,
okay.
obviously, but they'd have to wear swimwear, or they'd have to be answering general knowledge questions.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of Tyson and Wilder, you know, in the ring together, beating six layers of stuff out of each other, and occasionally having to spit out their gum shield to shout out, Bratislava
yeah.
is the capital of Slovakia. That is entertainment.
That's super boxing.
Yeah, that's super boxing. Or, you know, every now and again, is it Moussaka? You know, that's fantastic. And then right at the end, they will be there, browbeaten, tired, sweat pouring off them, and they both have to give a 30-second speech on how they would make the world better
lovely.
For future
lovely.
Generations.
Lovely.
I'm not saying it's a finished article. I'm just saying open your minds.
That's the Glory Hunters podcast, available from your regular podcast provider, and contains extra material.
I don't want any more.
Well, you can get it on this podcast. Unique to podcast subscribers. How about that? Well, that's it for another TalkSport Daily podcast. A reminder that if you've not already subscribed, make sure you do via Acast, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And another reminder to make sure you join me and Jason Emma Cundy from 10 p.m. on the Sports Bar for reaction to all the weekend's games. We've got Happy Farker, Sad Farker. Although I was actually there at Old Trafford on Saturday, I can tell you now, he'll be a very unhappy Farker. We've got Dermot Gallagher joining us, looking back at all the big decisions from the weekend's football. The Ralph Ellis back pages, tomorrow's tonight. And of course, the midnight train to madness. That and much more from 10 p.m. on TalkSport. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. It's the first one of the week. So usually you walk about with the face down the ground going, oh, still got another 3 days before I can even think of the weekend. You have, but just cheer up a bit. Anyway, have a good day and thanks for listening. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.